Good morning, SEC. What's going on? Oh, man. I'll tell you what, I go to bed. All is good. I wake up and wow, was my feed loaded with lots of ACC Big Ten talk. Hide your money, y'all. Poor people around. Oh, let's see. Let's get over here. Make sure everybody can see me. Everybody can hear me. Hell yeah. Piling in. Come on now. We have got an absolute loaded show here. So I got to be quick because my Cracker Barrel meal is, 30 minutes away. So before we get going too far, we got to remind. Oh, well, shit. Let's get with it. Cousin JR, this show is sponsored by Cousin JR. And I want to give him a shout out. Thank you, cuz, for being up this early. And let's see. Gifted a membership to Joe Self. Joe, welcome to the family. All right. Now, also, before we get going, and I appreciate everybody piling in. And all the positive feedback. You know, this show, I mean, to make it work, it's got to be with you guys. And I want to talk about stuff y'all want to talk about. So I appreciate, I got tagged several times in different articles yesterday. I gave you a shout out for that. I appreciate those that are calling the phones. We are going to have the voicemails is absolutely loaded. Keep it rolling in. I promise we'll get to yours. Yeah, if you see something crazy, you see a list that's stupid. I didn't have a list today, so if you see a dumb list floating around, tag me. I'll give you a shout out, and we'll discuss how stupid the list is. But let's get over here to the sponsor of the show, MyBookie. Promo code SEC right now. If you log in, you put the promo code SEC, they will give you 100% deposit match, free money. That's all this is. And I'll tell you, there's nothing better than placing bets with free money. And that's what you could do. You get a couple at the beginning of the season. You can play with that free money the rest of the season. You want to help the show grow? Please jump on MyBookie and use promo code SEC. Now, down to business. Let's get everything rolling here. I mean, I've got so much I got to go through here. As you know, I don't know why this trend has started, but we've gone back and forth to who's been arrested, who's not been arrested. Ball was in the Florida Gators court. Not anymore. That buck has been passed thanks to Cousin Scoop. That is Sponge Gator sent me this, tagged me. Several tagged me on this one, but he was the first one. Georgia commit Chase got arrested. Charged for violent driving incident. This is a Georgia four-star safety commit that was arrested. Two Houston teens were apparently violent driving incident. Once pulled over, they were both charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapons, record shows. So speaking of Florida Gators, got a cryptic tweet sent out the other day. Honestly, didn't know what this meant at first. I just thought this was one of the worst graphics I've seen. But as I read the comments, it looks like a even worse uniform may be reappearing. Do y'all remember this travesty? Some folks love it. This guy hates it. But Florida Gators apparently have leaked that they are going to do a unique uniform this season. Other news. Quickly, I'll just get with Boo Carter. He is all over my timeline, maybe because I how I feel about them Tennessee Vols. This is a guy that I was told originally that we probably shouldn't worry about it. Now we're starting to worry about it. And Boo, if you're listening, I forgive you. Come on back. We need you. Good Tennessee kid. You know, he's just maybe misunderstood. So if you're watching this, which you're probably not, but if you are, come on home. Come on home. All right. Now, the big news. Oh, my God. There was some shit being talked at some of these conferences, man. But before we jump in, a familiar face. We haven't seen this the smile in a while, the smile only a mother could love. But I did love the interaction with Mark Richt. So let's go over to new Miami quarterback.
You were at Georgia, went to Miami. I was at Georgia, went to Miami. The only difference is you got paid more than I did.
I don't know about that.
No, if you go year by year, I think you got me by about $1 million.
God, how can you not love Mark Richt? I'm telling you what, absolutely. If you've not followed up with the foundation that they're doing, you absolutely should. Mark Richt, fantastic guy, and God, didn't think you'd see Carson Beck this early in the morning. So sorry for that, cousin JR. But I'd like to say that was what was leading the ACC talk. It wasn't. It was this guy.
Discussion. It should be 16. More is better. Now, I don't think you got to go crazy over that because it is football, but we saw last year what the playoff can do. On-campus games, fantastic. Everything it does for our game, more exposure, more access, creates more fan bases and more people involved in the season throughout the year, more conferences. When it comes to our league, it should be talked about more. It should be easy. I just shed some light on. I mean, there's only been three leagues win a national championship that have teams in their league right now since 1990. All the teams that have won a national championship since 1990 are either in the ACC, the SEC, or the Big Ten. Since I mentioned in the last 15 years, we're tied for the second most championships with three with the Big Ten. I don't know why that's not talked about more. We have national brands. We've won championships. The revenue is almost double who's fourth. We have our own network, the competition, the investment. I just think it speaks for itself. And so most people want to see things decided on the field, so let's let it happen that way. I don't think there's any question that if it stayed at 12, we're every year a multi-bid league. I mean, Miami should have been last year at 10-2. There's no question they were one of the top 12 teams in America. But it does get tough, and especially when you have a human committee making decisions. Again, it's a hard job. It's set up for failure. They're great people. They do the best they can. The NFL doesn't do that. The NBA doesn't do that. High school football doesn't do that. FIFA World Cup. Like, let's take that out of it and let it be decided on the field. With a different process, in my opinion. But when it comes to the ACC, I think the experience and the results speak.
Mm-mm-mm. I wish that was the dumbest comments I heard today, but it wasn't. Ben Portnoy reported that Rhett said the SEC has had the same six schools win the championship since 1964. Not a single one of them has been different since 1964. That's a top-heavy team to me. That is not depth. That is not depth. The deeply loaded ACC coming out here telling us about depth. You know, I think the funniest comment underneath this was College Football Nerds. ACC conference champions the last 10 years. Clemson, 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 Pitt, Clemson, FSU, Clemson, and guess who's the favorite this year? Clemson. But please, please tell me how deep the ACC is. SMU shows up one game. They have some breaks go their way, and they make it to a college football playoff, and now all of a sudden this is the deepest conference in the country. Get the hell out of here. You guys need to focus more on what mascot will represent that stupid. Here's the thing. With SMU, all right? Here's the teams. You probably don't even know. If I put this out, hell, I didn't know all the teams, to be honest with you, until I saw this. But pick a team other than Clemson that could potentially make a college football playoff. Is it Florida State? I mean, that's where everybody kind of goes to. That's the brand recognition. Is it Syracuse? Is it Virginia Tech? Is it Pitt? Please tell me how deep. Yeah, deep. This is deep as shit is what this one is. ACC, get out of here, you poor conference. Speaking of poor, they're so poor they can't. This one kind of I thought was comical. ACC will start finding schools whose fans storm the field or court after this season. First incident, 50,000. Second, 100. Third, 200. Guess what the SEC fines? $500,000, and they didn't think it was enough. Just means more. It wasn't the only conference that was in the news. As you guys know, Big Ten was really the storylines here. And let's go over here to old Petiti.
As you expand the playoff, the rest of the bowl system and how we're trying to protect all of that, you're basically driving everybody to this one event. And it's just, I think in every league's interest, not just ours, to have more teams emerging, like, you know, like Indiana did last year, giving more teams a chance to compete. And there's just huge value in having games across. Look, last year, Ohio State was 7-2 and finished fourth in the Big Ten, right? Was undefeated in non-conference play. So, you know, the idea that we can go deep, I feel pretty strongly about that. If you're 6-3 in the Big Ten, I would argue that's a great record. And if you stumbled in a non-conference game, I don't know why that disqualifies you. 8-4 is a winning percentage. If you project that winning percentage in every other sport, I'm pretty sure you make the postseason. Whether it's hockey, basketball, anywhere else, like that type of winning record. So we've conditioned ourselves to think that if you're not a one or two loss team, you're not worthy of competing. There are plenty of teams in professional sports who qualify for the playoffs who can't get past a first round game. That's okay. They still get to play. Like, you know, we'll figure it out on the field rather than sitting in a room.
You know what? We need more 8-4 Big Ten teams in the college football playoffs. We were begging. I mean, there was real conversation about 10-win SEC teams not making the playoffs. We had this conversation last year. We had it the year before. However, Big Ten's up here, and no wonder Sankey and this guy can't get along. I mean, I've watched 1 minute video clip of this guy, and I don't think I would want to have a meal at Cracker Barrel with him. You know, you're going to sit here and tell me that 8-4, 9-3 even, Big Ten team deserves a spot in the college football playoffs? No, I'm not going to agree with that. In fact, we're going to talk strength of schedule. I thought Chuck said it the best here. Good day to revisit the 2025 strength of schedule rankings for all the college football. Not only does SEC play the toughest league schedule in the nation, but each SEC team also required to play one non-conference P4 game as well. And that's what we keep hearing. That's what keeps coming up. We play 9 games. SEC plays 8. Have you looked at the conference? And I'm not just because I'm an SEC homer. Let's just, if you had truth serum, I mean, if I gave the commissioner truth serum and I said, listen, is this a deep conference? He would rattle off 4 teams, maybe 3, that have a shot for college football playoff. He'd probably give you 2 that if all goes right, based off scheduling, they could be in the conversation at the end of the year. But beyond that, absolute trash. And I'm not just, this isn't bash Big Ten Day. I'm just true serum. We're not going to sit here and pretend that this conference is absolutely loaded. Because if you looked at strength of schedule, SEC has 14. ESPN put a thing out. SEC has 14. We have 16 teams. 14 in the top 25. Yeah, we're going to stick with 8. Because we have seen by this committee that if we get to 9, we're not in. So why? I understand. The more I hear this propaganda, the more I understand where Sankey's coming from and the frustration of talking with 2-year-olds. That's basically what we're doing here. But that's not the dumbest. Oh, my gosh, guys. That is not the dumbest comment that was made yesterday. That was by our boy Sig up in Indiana.
On Podcast Network, Coach, you guys recently announced that you canceled a future home-and-home series with Virginia. Can you talk about what went into that decision and why you think that's in the best interest for your program and the fans?
Yeah, you know, that was a scheduling philosophy that began before I was hired, but I did sign off on it upon being hired before our first season, okay? And look, here's the bottom line, okay? We picked up an extra home game, and we play 9 conference games. You know, the 2 best conferences in college football, any football guy that's objective will tell you, is the Big Ten and the SEC. All right? 12 of the 16 SEC teams play 3 G5 or an FCS game. 12 of those teams play 36 games, 29 G5 games, and 7 FCS games. And 1 less conference game. All right? So we figured we'd just adopt SEC scheduling philosophy. You know, some people don't like it. I'm more focused in on those 9 conference games. You know, not only do we want to play 9 conference games, okay, and have the 4-4 championship, the playoff format, okay, we want to have play-in games to decide who plays in those playoffs. You know, championship weekend, let's play 3-6 and 4-5. You want to decide that on the field, make sure everybody's strength of schedule is what it needs to be? Let's make everybody play 9 conference games, and on championship weekend, 3 will play 6, 4 will play 5. And there's still room for another at-large in that format. And why shouldn't the Big Ten have 4 AQs? Because Ohio State actually finished 4th in the conference at the end of the season. Indiana and Penn State were tied for 2nd. They won the tiebreaker. Ohio State won the national championship. Okay? You want to put the best teams in the playoff? Give the best leagues the AQs, but make them earn it with play-in games. And we wouldn't be opposed to Big Ten SEC regular season games every year. We need to standardize the schedule across the board if we want to have objective criteria for who should be in the playoffs and who shouldn't. And we need to take the decision-making off the committee to some degree.
Mm. Is there a more punchable face in college football than this man right here? You know what he reminds me of? Roman Craig. You may be too young to remember the great outdoors, but God.
Hello, Jerry Asmuth, please. Yeah, Roman Craig. Yeah, I can hold, but not for too long. I'm in God's country here. My signal's kind of weak.
This guy wins a few games, and you would think that he is God's gift to college football, right? That we actually care. I mean, maybe this is it. Maybe this is it. He's in the news. This is what he wants. You know, it works in sports talk, so why wouldn't it work in Indiana? But 4 automatic bids. You know, and this is what they want. They want 4 automatics. And I'm not saying that the SEC wouldn't want that either, but, you know, I think it's the at-larges, because when it gets to that point, then I feel like that's where you really got to look at the strength of schedule, and that's where Big Ten takes offense. And again, a lot more smarter people are going to be making conversations and talk about this, but we've been talking about it for years. It's time to come get some clarity here and just bring it to the table and let's just fix it. Just do it. And let's play the damn games. What we can't have is SMUs and Indiana's in this college football playoffs. Even though they're the ones that are chirping right now, they just don't want to be left out again. And they've got it. They got a little piece of the pie they want to stay in. I completely get that. But you look at, let's just pull up their schedule here real quick. And I always like making fun of Indiana because I think they're dumb. But here's an example. This is Indiana's schedule. And for those that are listening, Old Dominion, not the trucking company, Kennesaw State, Indiana State, Illinois, Iowa, Oregon, Michigan State, UCLA, Maryland, Penn State, Wisconsin, Purdue, the toughest schedule in the country. Okay, let's be honest. Penn State, probably going to be a good game. Probably going to be a loss. Illinois could be a loss. And what was the other one? There was another. Oregon. That's probably going to be a loss. So 3 loss. But they're going to make the case. This is why he's complaining. He sees this. And he says, hey, if we beat everybody else, though, a 9-3 should be in. Because we beat Old Dominion. Kennesaw State by 40. Indiana State. Here's a comparison. Wisconsin is probably the 4th toughest game on their schedule. You know who else is playing Wisconsin this year? Alabama. All right, let's look at Alabama's schedule. Georgia. All right, I'll just read down. Florida State, ULM, Wisconsin, Georgia, Vanderbilt, Mizzou, Tennessee, South Carolina, LSU, Oklahoma, Eastern Illinois, and Auburn. We're following the SEC because we scheduled ULM, because we scheduled Eastern Illinois. But you know what else? We scheduled Florida State. Oh, by the way, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, potentially 6 ranked opponents that we'll be facing this year. But yes, poor Indiana. Gonna get left out again. I think that's all the videos I got. And again, I appreciate everybody that has sent the voicemail. So let's get to the phone lines now. First up, Cousin G's Louise.
G's Louise here. And what time does Cousin Shane have to wake up in the morning to get this pod rolling? And is Cracker Barrel even open that early to let him in?
Cousin G's, I get up at 5 in the morning, every morning. Of course, I usually do that anyway. I'm an early bird, but the older I get, the earlier I got to get to bed. Problem with this show is I got to be prepared, so I do a lot of that prep at night, and yeah, I'm a little exhausted. That's why I've got 4 cans of Diet Mountain Dew over here, but I appreciate you calling in, cuz. And after that, we got, Cousin John with a Mateer question.
Yeah, quick question. I'm just curious if you think John Mateer is the real deal at Oklahoma. Like, is he as good as he's cracked up to be?
Listen, you guys don't tune in here for quarterback talk. I mean, I'm a fan. When we started this show, Mike was the one that knew all the names. I was the one that just enjoyed the games. And one thing I like about John Mateer, and I'm like this, man, especially in the offseason, I get caught up in the hype train, and I'm right there. You know, Arch Manning comes over and shakes Paul Feinbaum's hand. You know who shakes it better? John Mateer. You know, I like the swagger. I like the bravado. I like this attitude coming from an Oklahoma quarterback, because we didn't see it week 3 last year. We saw a quarterback scared. But he's now in Auburn. We now have an offensive line. We have better receivers around. Hopefully we can stay healthy. I think we have serviceable defense. That's the most important thing for me with John Mateer, because John Mateer is going to take some chances. I like that. I like chances. This is an athletic quarterback that's not afraid to lower his shoulder, but we can't get him hurt. You know what I'm saying? So is John Mateer God's gift to football? No. But I'm very excited to see the ceiling, because the ceiling is there. This is a team that we talked about at SEC Media Days nonstop, because the ceiling was so high and the floor was so low. Oklahoma fans could be in for an absolute treat. And, you know, seeing John Mateer and how he handled the podium, that's a good captain. That's important for me, too, because if you showed leadership, and I'm not saying Arnold didn't show that, but there was a different conversations being had at Media Days, and you got to have a captain, man. And I feel like this Oklahoma team is galvanized from the top to the bottom. Going to be a scary program. So is John Mateer the best Oklahoma quarterback? No. But can he get him back on track? Absolutely. Next one's going to be Cousin Hugh.
What's up, cuz? Hey, this is Hugh Clark. Loving the show. I've been with you guys since the beginning. Actually emailed Mike 3 or 4 times throughout the year, just letting you guys know how great you're doing. So proud of you. Look, I'm a huge Gamecock fan. I hope Baby Beamer can bring it over the edge. What do you think Beamer can do to make South Carolina sustainable for more than just one-hit wonders? Thank you, cuz.
Well, thank you, cuz. And truthfully, he's already doing it. Mainly on the recruiting trail. I mean, this is a hot team right now. But we just dropped an episode with Cole Kublik, one of the smartest guys in college football. Now, if you want to know about quarterbacks, and if you want to know about a left guard, that's your guy, all right? And one thing that stood out to me in that conversation is that Shane Beamer does more with less. And I'm not saying South Carolina has less resources or less fandom or anything like that. I'm just saying the cards are stacked against some of these teams in the SEC. But Beamer equalizes it. You know what I'm saying? Every year he finds 4 or 5 players that are just freak athletes that it blows my mind they got past all the other blue bloods, if you will. He does it consistently. But, Cole talked about that, but it wasn't just that for me. He does that with coaches. guys I've never heard of. Next thing I know, they're getting promoted off staff for a head coaching position. This is what South Carolina is becoming. And I think it's important to note that you may have him already. And we're going to be sitting here, I think, 5-6 years from now. And I'm not saying the standards at South Carolina are changing every single year. The expectations are changing every single year because of what Shane Beamer and company are doing over there. I'm a fan of the guy. I met him. I've never actually talked to him until this season. I'm hooked. Two Shanes can't be wrong. This guy's going to be special. Hold on to him, South Carolina. All they need is a little break. They need a little help. And one of the things that I think may help South Carolina, honestly, is next year's schedule. Because there's some teams that's gotten screwed the last two seasons, and I feel like South Carolina is one of them. And I'm not saying they're going to get a favorable one next year, but if there's a team that may be in line for that, brother, hang on. You get Sellers back next year. If he comes back, I mean, hell, you got a Heisman quarterback. South Carolina's here. They're back. They're not going anywhere. Last one I got for you guys before I get out of here. Cracker Barrel is calling. Speaking of calling, this is Cousin Michael with an interesting request.
Hey, Cousin Shane. This is Mike Raleigh here, Gator fan. I know you're pretty big into food. Well, I'd like to invite you and Mike and the family up on September 25th through the 27th, up here in my little community of Liberty. They have this thing called the Apple Festival, and they make the world's largest apple pie on that Saturday. And while you're up here, if you get to go, there's this little country buffet called the Bread of Life, where the size of the rolls are bigger than both your hands combined. If y'all can make the trip up here, it'd be pretty cool. It's a nice little community with full of Amish and Mennonites. All right, see y'all.
Cousins know I'm allergic to cinnamon, so the world's largest apple pie may be my last visit, but I have an EpiPen. I may be willing to risk it here, and ran it by the boss, and schedules are lining up, so I think you got yourself a damn bet. So we'll check out those rolls. I'm looking forward to college football, man. You know, this is my favorite part, is the chirping. You know it's right around the corner. We're 30 days. We're like a month away from college football being back, and it can't get here soon enough. I want to appreciate everybody hanging out. You got something online you see and say, Shane, please include this on the show. Tag me and I'll tag you. And don't forget the voicemails. I got several we're going to get to, and yeah, we're just getting rolling, baby. So again, I hope you all have a wonderful day. And I will see you tomorrow. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.